You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This is a dangerous road for us to go down. We're not going to have people that don't know our streets engaging in clearly unconstitutional conduct operating at will in our city. That is chaos. That is lawlessness.
That is lawlessness. The words of Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. She would know what is lawlessness. She's got blood running in her streets. This is July 22nd, 2020. 14 injured. Following a mass shooting outside a funeral home in Chicago yesterday. The working theory is, and it's more than a theory, a gang member was being memorialized and prepared for burial, and that's why the funeral service was being held. Or are some of those attending the funeral service were gang members. And another gang drove by and opened fire on anyone and everyone outside the funeral home. And here you have Mayor Lightfoot insisting, we're not going to have federal troops coming into our city because they don't know our city. They don't know our streets. You don't know your streets or your city either, apparently, when it comes to stopping crime. And plus, she had tweeted out just about the time the shooting of the funeral went down, either a little bit before, maybe even during, doesn't really make any difference. She said, I don't want Donald Trump's troops here. They're not Donald Trump's troops. They are federal troops. But, of course, when they put Trump's name with it, it proves everything to you. It says everything. It should tell you this Democrat mayor, like many other mayors across the nation and governors and other Dems, this mayor hates Trump more than she loves the citizens of her city. The request for federal troops to come in was made by the president of the police union, I should say, in Chicago. We're waiting to see what happens next. Trump's indicating, yeah, we're going to send 150 in if this continues. Oh, and the echo chamber is starting up. Click, 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 like going up a roller coaster. You hear that click, 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 and all of a sudden, boy, here we go. Because Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, suddenly has declared the virus, the pandemic, is the Trump virus. Trump virus. Put his name on it. Make people begin to talk about suffering the Trump virus. In other words, it's another opportunity to find a way to try to destroy Trump before the election. And, of course, yesterday, Trump held his first news conference in some time on COVID-19 and what's going on with it. All the mainstream media, including the liberals, are saying he's got to come out. He's got to come talk. He's saying nothing. He's got to come out. So he did. And CNN didn't bother covering it. Oh, they covered Joe Biden in his entirety of his speech, but they did not devote any live coverage to Trump in the news conference. And they were among the ones saying he's not doing enough. He's got to come out and talk. And he did, and they ignore it. By the way, also word coming out, the U.S. government has a $2 billion deal with Pfizer and BioNTech for 100 million doses of their experimental COVID-19 vaccine once it gets FDA approval. Hans Bonkowski will join us later from the Heritage Foundation, talking about how the cancel culture is creating hate inside our military, plus the battle over illegal aliens, voting in U.S. elections, and also counting illegal aliens to decide how we redistrict congressional offices. Fred Fleiss will join us, president of Center Security Policy, and what the current pandemic can teach us about bioweapons and the threats from China. And, of course, just yesterday, the administration shut down the U.S. consulate in Houston because we have recognized that it is clearly nothing more than a spy operation. Oh, and speaking of the cancel culture, New York Times family might have been slave owners. Anyone told you about that? Probably not. and Black Lives Matter painting on the street. Don't try to cover it up, destroy it. Do something that someone else did, and suddenly those who put it down will take it up. I'll explain. And Blockbuster News involving Planned Parenthood and cancel culture. This basically rocks the very foundation of Planned Parenthood. It repeats and echoes all of us who have been telling you how Planned Parenthood started and the original intent. And now, as they say, the chickens are coming home to roost. Let your friends, family, even your enemies know we're on the air, will you? We're going to be here for the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think with the president's comments today, he recognized the mistakes that he has made by now embracing mask wearing, and the recognition this is not a hoax. It is a pandemic that has gotten worse before it will get better because of his inaction. And in fact, clearly, it is the Trump virus.
Boom. There it is. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Wolf Blitzer, CNN, declaring it's the Trump virus and saying, I think the president now realizes how wrong he's been. I want to break it down for you. But let's begin with, I wonder if Nancy has realized how wrong she was when Trump originally stopped flights from China coming in. And she and Joe Biden and others said that xenophobia, you're once again trying to attack people of color, the yellow people this time, and also insisting that come join me, as Nancy Pelosi said, here in Chinatown, everything's just fine, come have lunch with me. Have you ever heard her say one word of apology or correction and say, well, that's the way we understood things at that time? That's all it takes. Trump is not given that opportunity. And if he even said, well, that's the way it appeared at that time, or that's what we were hoping, they're taking it as fact. Now, here's something you got to weigh in your mind here. The left Democrats, the hard left, even the mainstream Democrats, and certainly the mainstream media, want you to think that Trump is a total buffoon, an idiot, over and over. He's an idiot. He's stupid. So if you want to go with the story that he says, don't wear masks, you shouldn't wear them, why would they complain? Because they wouldn't be following his instructions, would they? Would Democrats follow his instructions if they think he's an idiot and a buffoon? No, the ones following his instruction would be Trump followers, Trump supporters. So the Dems should be happy and say, well, good, because if the Trump supporters buying the fact that Trump said don't wear a mask, then they'll all get the virus and maybe die and won't be available to vote come November. That's one way to look at this as you try to analyze it. The other side is they're lying about what Trump said. Trump never said don't wear a mask. He has been seen with a mask previously. He has worn them. He said, I wear them when I need them. Nancy Pelosi, in an interview with Wolf Blitzer yesterday, did not have a mask on. Why? Well, because she's probably in a closed environment. I don't know where she was, her home, wherever she was. But I assume she was the only one in the room, and yet there was maybe a cameraman, or was it electronic operated? I don't know. Wolf Blitzer was not wearing a mask. They're going to take whatever he says and twist and turn it. He has no chance to win. So the complaints have been building up. We're not getting any more of these daily briefings from Trump or the COVID. We're not getting them, and he should be up here talking every day, tell us what's going on. And why? Well, because they want to attack him. In fact, that's why Trump originally had said, I'm not going to bother doing these anymore because who's paying any attention? And when I get up there, the whole idea is for the left and the media to try to find a way to attack me and attack what I'm saying. They're not listening to what I say. They just want to try to pick a fight each and every day. So here's a quick summary of what Trump did say yesterday.
My administration will stop at nothing to save lives and shield the vulnerable. It will probably, unfortunately, get worse before it gets better. We're asking everybody that when you are not able to socially distance, wear a mask, get a mask. Whether you like the mask or not, they have an impact.
If you saw him making that speech yesterday, you were not watching CNN and NNN because CNN and NNN has been complaining that the president's not showing leadership and not standing up there and addressing this and taking our questions, did not bother covering it. Not live. Oh, they had a reporter there, but they didn't take it live. It appears this first briefing by the president on the COVID-19, the first since April, ignored by CNN and NNN. They only aired the briefing as he began taking questions from reporters. See, we want the gotcha questions. We don't care what he has to say to that point. There's no context for their listeners, their viewers. They don't care, of course. They want you to be spoon-fed. Fox News, MSNBC aired it, and reports even that Al Jazeera aired it. So here they are calling on them all the time. And if you recall, earlier this year, the CNN began airing less and less of the briefings because CNN Tonight anchor Don Lemon called on the network to not air them loud, air them live. And again, when he gets up there and starts doing his speech and making his remarks, Nancy Pelosi then comes on Wolf Blitzer with CNN and talks about what Trump said. And again, as you listen to this, you have to ask, where did you see this news conference, Nancy? It wasn't on the very program you're appearing on with Wolf Blitzer.
I think with the president's comments today, he recognized the mistakes that he has made by now embracing mask wearing. And the recognition this is not a hoax, it is a pandemic that has gotten worse before it will get better because of his inaction. And in fact, clearly, it is the Trump virus.
Well, what do you mean when you say the Trump virus?
The Trump virus. If he had said months ago, let's wear a mask, let's socially distance instead of having rallies and political whatever they were, then more people would have followed his lead as the president of the United States instead of being a bad example, making it like a manhood thing not to wear a mask. Though I think a good deal of what we have suffered is clearly the Trump virus.
So what you're saying is that thousands of Americans have died because of what the president has done or not done. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, is it? Would you tell Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, that thousands died in his state because of what he ordered? And again, Nancy, if you're looking at Trump as such an idiot and a buffoon, who would be listening to whatever he says? But he never once said, don't wear the mask. He never said you don't have to worry about social distancing. The point being that you do what you need to as you want. He's going to leave it to the states to make their decisions. And he said, I don't need to wear a mask a lot. I'm not going to. There's no one that gets near the president that they don't check anyway. Now, if this is an issue, they're checking temperatures of anyone, including Secret Service agents near him. But again, Nancy's taking what she wants out of it and using it again to start the echo chamber by calling this the Trump virus. Probably because, in part, during that address yesterday, Trump once again began referring to it as the China virus. And, of course, so many say that's racially insensitive. It came from China. Wuhan, China. That's a fact. You want to call it COVID-19? That's fine. But the origin came out of Wuhan, China. So he calls it the China virus. I guess Pelosi said, okay, we'll call it the Trump virus. I'm looking at a report from NPR, how they wrote up the story. And listen to this headline. In reversal, Trump urges mask use. That's not a reversal. He never said, don't use it. He said, make your decisions. Let the governors of your state make decisions. Many folks don't like to be mandated, but they'll make their own, supposedly, good, healthy decisions. Seatbelts you're ordered to wear. If cops stop you and you don't have a seatbelt on, there will be a citation. In some states, if you're riding a motorcycle without a helmet, they will stop you and give you a citation. You decided to try to ride without a helmet, that's at your risk. You decide to drive in your car without a seatbelt, that's at your risk. If you want to go out in a store and a gathering of folks without a mask, and they don't have any mask on, that's at your risk. But the whole headline from NPR was, in reversal, Trump urges mask use. Show me, someone pulled out the copy, show me where he said, don't wear a mask. He has questioned the value of them. So has Fauci from the beginning. Fauci said they won't really do anything, remember? And then the question is, what kind of mask? Would cloth mask be effective, or do you need a full N95 extra super duper magnetic device created on planet Krypton? I have no idea, and apparently no one else does. We are now getting a report, of course, that they're running rapid with 1,000 died of COVID-19 in one day. That is, again, numbers presented on one day. Did that mean they all died on that day? Nope. It could be they died over 2 or 3 days, maybe 4 days. Took a while to confirm if it was COVID. And then again, it may not be COVID anyway, but it's on there, so they're going to keep it that way. You'll have no idea of the numbers. If we don't know the real numbers of what's happening, what do we know about the real value with or without a mask? I personally encourage you to use them if you're in a group that you don't really know. General populace, if you're with some people you know, you make your own decision again. But now they're also pointing out how many cases we're seeing total. We are about to reach, they say, 4 million. It took us months to reach 3 million, and then within 2 weeks we should see another 1 million. That's not deaths, I will make sure you understand. That's the number of COVID-positive tests. Again, assuming they are correct and accurate. There was a story, I was listening to Larry Elder, of course, who appears also on this station last week, he appears later in the day. And someone had left him a message that they said, I know it's just a story, I don't have any facts, but here's what happened. He said, a buddy and I went to Dodger Stadium to get some free COVID tests. We lined up with everyone else, had to submit our name, information, address, so forth. And then we had to wait and wait and wait, and we found out we're not going to wait any longer. We left. He said a couple weeks later, we got in the mail, each of us, your COVID tests are back and they're positive. He said, we were never tested. But they had our address and so forth, and they sent us a notice. So again, are we getting the actual correct numbers to begin with? Plus, we know hospitals, if you put COVID as a death, they get extra money. If they put someone on a respirator, they get extra money. A ventilator, they get extra money at that point. I would think most hospitals are doing things properly, as you would think most medical professionals and doctors are doing things properly. But How many cases of fraud do we see on a continuous basis? Medicare fraud, prescription fraud involving doctors and our medical facilities. They're small compared to the mass, right? But they still happen. It may be small numbers here, but again, it's adding to the COVID death count when it may not be. I'm looking at a piece by Chris Siliza of CNN. You know, he writes all their smart stuff. He's supposedly really bright editor-at-large. And he talks about the single most damning quote about Donald Trump and the virus so far. I'm going to share that with you in the next segment. But before I do, Joe Biden, as I said, did get coverage from CNN and NN yesterday. And Joe Biden, again, reading from a teleprompter, had this message referenced Trump and the virus.
This man simply doesn't understand. He can't deal with our economic crisis without serving and saving and solving the public health crisis. For all his bluster about his expertise on the economy, he's unable to explain how it will actually help working families hit the hardest. You know, he's quit on you, and he's quit on this country.
The words of Joe Biden. You think Trump's quit on you, quit on the country? All right, I'll share that most damning quote about Trump and the virus after this break.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, so what is this most damning quote, according to a headline written for an article by Chris Siliza with CNN and NN Politics? The headline reading, the single most damning quote about Donald Trump and coronavirus yet. He's referring to a New York Times piece that cracks are emerging between President Trump and the broader Republican Party on how to handle the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Cracks are emerging. There have been cracks here for some time. I mean, you already have seen governors against the president's wishes open their states earlier than he said. I don't think they should, but it's their decision. This article or quote came in the New York Times attributed to Dave Carney, a longtime Republican strategist who apparently advises Texas Governor Greg Abbott. And the quote was, the president got bored with it. And Cizilla says, that's a stunning admission from anyone, but most especially from someone like Carney, this Republican strategist who isn't part of the Never Trump movement and isn't just likely to pop off to impress media types, suggesting that Trump was bored with COVID-19. You're smart enough to read there's more to that story, right? If the quote is properly stated and attributed, I'd ask more questions about it, and I suspect he's bored with the news conferences because he was doing them daily and sometimes long, I thought way too long, but he wouldn't leave until he answered everybody's question, and they finally had exhausted their questions. They couldn't think of anything else except maybe, what are you having for dinner? But he continued to do it, and finally, the only thing that was coming out of it is their little quips about ambushing him. That would appear on their air and trying to come up with something to make it look like he didn't know what he's talking about. And that's when he decided, enough of it. And then they start hollering, no, we want these. And then when he does it, CNN and NN doesn't bother covering it. That should, again, tell you everything about what they're doing. The president has also issued an executive order that will exclude illegal aliens from being counted for the purposes of setting up congressional districts. That's part of the census effort. once we get the census in and we count how many folks are in which states and which parts of each state, then they have to decide how many congressional representatives would be allotted to each state. We only have 435 total, so you got to portion it out. Some states might pick up one or two congressional representatives. Some might lose one or two. But the president says, for this census purpose, do not be counting illegals because they are not qualified to vote anyway. So they should not be counted as congressional district citizens reference setting up congressional districts, such as California, home to more than 2.2 million illegal aliens, apparently representing those 2.2 million, representing more than 6% of the entire population of California. Not eligible to vote, they're illegal, and yet if you add them into the count for California, they could pick up additional congressional seats. We're going to be joined by Hans von Spakovsky in the next hour, segment. His take on using this executive order, the value of it, and also how the cancel culture is creating hate inside our U.S. military. You don't want to miss this interview. Still to come.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So I was telling you about President Trump's executive order to exclude illegal aliens from being counted for the purpose of setting up congressional districts, and I explained to you briefly why. California Governor Newsom quickly stating the decision to keep illegals from being counted is, quote, rooted in racism and xenophobia. Joining us now, Hans von Spakovsky, an expert in constitutional law, election law with the Heritage Foundation. Welcome aboard again, sir.
Larry, thanks for having me.
So you've already spoken out. I've seen a piece that you and Mike Gonzalez put together, and your response to the Trump administration's move to exclude illegal aliens for the purpose of establishing congressional districts. Go ahead, sir.
Well, they're doing exactly what they should do to protect American citizens, regardless of their race or ethnicity. That statement by the governor of California is absurd. Look, what the president said was that when it comes to apportionment, the population that will be used will not include illegal aliens. And what he's talking about is the fact that after the census, there'll be a calculation made on how many members of the House of Representatives each state has based on their population in relation to the total population of the U.S. The problem with including illegal aliens in that, and remember, illegal aliens are in the country illegally. They have no electoral rights. They don't have a right to vote. They have no right to representation in Congress. If you include illegal aliens in that population, then states like California, which do everything they can to incentivize aliens to break the law and come to California, they will get more members of Congress.
In fact, before you joined us, I pointed out that California has more than 2 million illegals that they know, and they're illegal,
right.
And that's more than 6% of the state population.
Yeah, I've seen various estimates, but the estimates say that if only citizen population was considered when it comes to apportionment, California would probably lose 4 or 5, maybe even 6 members of Congress.
That
and
many?
That's the way it should be. Yeah, that's the way it should be, because if you include illegal aliens in the population for apportionment purposes, what are you doing? You're diluting the vote of U.S. citizens. So, again, the idea that this is somehow racist is ridiculous. African-Americans have an extremely high rate of citizenship, just like Caucasian-Americans. And, in fact, you are devaluing the vote of African Americans, if you include illegal aliens, in the population used for apportionment.
Well, California has already more than 53 congressional districts, and of course, the vast majority are Democrat. I'm trying to think that there might only be less than half a dozen Republicans.
Well, that could be, but like I said, this is the right thing to do. And I, look, I have no doubt lawsuits will be filed, but the president actually has the law on his side here. Why? Well, because through federal law, Congress delegated to the president and the executive branch the power to make the determination for apportionment. And there was actually a lawsuit filed back in 92. By Massachusetts contesting an issue similar to this. This one didn't involve illegal aliens. It involved the fact that the census was putting members of the military who were overseas, they were counting them in their home state, even though they didn't reside there. Massachusetts sued over that, and the Supreme Court said, no, this is within the power of the president to determine who is an inhabitant of a state, and that can include some element of allegiance or enduring tie to a place. Well, clearly, illegal aliens don't have any enduring tie to the place they live in the U.S.
The California Governor Newsom, again, though, he makes a statement which I know a lot of the left will latch onto. Counting every person in our country through the census is a principle so foundational, it's written into our Constitution, period. That is true, but that does not mean then they get to be counted when it comes to making congressional districts.
No, that's exactly right. He's trying to confuse the census, which is supposed to count everybody in the U.S., with the population that's used for apportionment purposes and the population used for redistricting or drawing the lines of congressional lines within a state. In fact, I'd recommend legislatures all over switch to using citizen population instead of total population when they're drawing new congressional districts, again, in order not to disenfranchise and dilute the votes of citizens.
Now, there are cities and counties, and some I can think of in California, that have allowed illegals to vote in school elections and maybe city council races.
They have. San Francisco is the biggest city in the country, but it's illegal for aliens, whether they're here legally or illegally, to vote in state elections in every state and in federal elections, too. And I frankly think it is a betrayal of citizens to allow people who are here illegally to vote in local elections like school board elections.
You're listening to Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation. Hans, there's another subject I want to turn to. I'm looking at a piece that you and Charlie Stimson had written for the New York Post stating that we have members of our military, uniform and civilian, that are basically they're being taught hate under the guise of inclusion. Would you explain?
Yeah, I was frankly astonished when, I'm from Huntsville, Alabama. And right next to Huntsville is a place called Redstone Arsenal. It's a big Army base. The U.S. Army Missile Command is there. And I was contacted by a bunch of my friends, people I went to high school with, who've all gone to work out there, telling me that they were putting in this training program for about inclusion at Redstone Arsenal that said that you are a white supremacist and a racist if, for example, you use the president's theme, Make America Great, or if you believe in things like color blindness, or if you believe in celebrating Columbus Day. I mean, it was one of the most ridiculous and absurd things I've ever seen. And yet, every civilian and military staffer out on Redstone Arsenal was basically told they needed to come to these seminars where that's what they would be taught.
Well, clearly in the past, the Army, we saw it clearly during World War II, they wouldn't even allow they didn't believe that, first of all, blacks knew how to fly planes and could be effective. Obviously, they were proven wrong, and we have changed dramatically, which Obviously, we should have before that time. But then, of course, it became the issue of Vietnam that, well, now we're drafting the minorities into the war as opposed to anyone else. But we have had problems inside our military when it comes to not only racial equality but gender equality. But what I'm hearing from this is that this is trying to remake – it's trying to make political correctness as opposed to the mission of the military.
It is. And the things you're talking about, look, that's particularly the racial issues with the military, that's old news. In fact, the military for decades now has been probably one of the best examples in the entire country of an institution where meritocracy is what counts. And people get promoted and advanced regardless of their race or ethnicity.
Well, when you guys, I guess when you were informed by some of your folks, your friends, fellows, friends you said that you'd gone to school with, what was going on over there, were you totally caught off surprise? You thought, well, I've been kind of wondering. I mean, what was your thought?
I was totally caught by surprise because the email that was sent out to all the employees down there had all these posters and pictures attached that I was just astonished at it. I mean, for example, just to give you another example of this, if you believe in an English-only workplace, you know, English is the common language of the country, and if you believe people should speak English in the workplace, you are a white racist, according to the document sent out as part of this study. I will tell folks. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, being a pilot, I wonder how that goes for any place where we send any of our U.S. carriers go into, be it Pakistan, China, wherever it is. They must have English-speaking air traffic controllers. I mean, we don't have to learn their language to land at their airport and understand the instructions.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you, I have heard that the Army is investigating this, that apparently folks at the Pentagon in Washington were taken by surprise. They didn't supposedly realize this was going on. So hopefully they are investigating this and will go after the folks who did this. Because I should say, besides the fact that this is all wrong, I think there was a potential violation of the Hatch Act.
Right.
By the Army employees who did this. You know, the Hatch Act is the federal law that prevents federal employees from engaging in partisan politics on the job.
And
when you send out a notice saying that the president's campaign theme is racist, you are engaging in partisan politics.
That's an excellent point to wrap up on. Hans, I appreciate your time as always, sir. Thank you very much.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Well, you bet. We'll do it again. Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. So what if the original owners of the New York Times and the founders were slave owners? What's the New York Times going to do?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
As we have pointed out recently, the New York Times is making a big deal out of what they call the 1619 Project, an effort to rewrite American history, viewing the true origin of the U.S. as the arrival of the first slave in 1619, not with the Declaration of Independence in 1776. The New York Times insisting that we need to set the record right. Well, Michael Goodwin of the New York Post did an extensive survey and investigation of the New York Times and its history. The patriarch, Adolph S. Ochs, O-C-H-S, I may be pronouncing that incorrectly. Anyway, Ochs purchased the paper in a bankruptcy sale in 1896. And currently, the Times points out that the Ochs-Schlossberg family through several trusts controlling about 91% of the stock that elects 90%, or rather 70% of the New York Times company board members. With that in mind, Michael Goodwin of the New York Post began looking, and he realized that the ancestral members of the Ochs family included slave owners. He found that Bertha Levy Ochs, the mother of Adolph S. Ochs, supported the South in slavery. She was caught smuggling medicine to Confederates in a baby carriage, and her brother Oscar joined the rebel army. He also said that I've also learned that Oscar fought alongside two Mississippi cousins, meaning at least three members of the Ochs family were fighting with the South. And they made contributions to rebel memorials. Bertha Levy Ochs, the mother of the Times patriarch, $1,000 for the Stone Mountain Memorial in Georgia that celebrates Davis, Robert E. Lee, and Stonewall Jackson. Donation made in 1924 by Adolph S. Ochs in memory of his mother at that point. She had died 16 years earlier, so she could be on the founder's roll, adding in a letter that Robert E. Lee was her idol. So Adolph S. Ochs, who purchased the New York Times, made those contributions for the, quote, rebel memorials. And apparently, he says, there's also compelling evidence that another ancestor with inside the family tree was deeply involved in the slave trade. Well, have you seen the New York Times put that story out and acknowledge that, yes, we had this in our past, but that's not us? We want to acknowledge that was history, but we're not part of it now. We didn't have part in it. See, the New York Times and all the left, they can say that if you're white, you and your ancestors, you must have owned slaves. Or if you're black, you must have been a relative of someone who was a slave. I don't know in any other case. That's you and your family, your history. I don't like people suddenly being labeled simply because of their color, one way or the other. Or their religion. Because pointing out the New York Times and the Ochs family, Jewish. And many might think, why was a Jewish family supporting the Confederacy or owning slaves? Judah P. Benjamin was the first Jew elected to the U.S. Senate. He held several prominent positions in the Confederate government. But that was then, not now. You want to penalize and punish people for things happened then? I wouldn't. And yet the left does if it does not fit their standard. That's the difference. They're not willing to say, why don't we accept this as equal? That was something in our past we're not very proud of, but we had nothing to do with. Let's move on. I think that's a fair thing for all sides. But the hypocritic left will not do it that way. You know, we've seen various paintings on our streets across the nation, and in particular New York City, right outside Trump Tower, Mayor Bill de Blasio helping paint a sign, Black Lives Matter, right on the street, right in front of Trump Plaza, on a city street. Well, other folks who have tried to deface it, vandalize it, they've been arrested for vandalizing street art. And others want them removed and fighting against them, trying to, well, here's a better idea. A California city, Redwood City, California, had a massive Black Lives Matter street painting. No one tried to deface it, destroy it, but the city ended up washing it off. Why? Well, because others came forward and said, okay, you can have yours, but we want a MAGA 2020 painting on the street. We want to do ours too, if you're going to allow that. And so then they realized, well, if we take the BLM off the street, then we can tell you, no, we're not going to allow that kind of stuff anymore. So you don't have to destroy the signs. You have to go out and say, all right, we're going to paint what we want on the street. That's our art, our vision, our purpose. See how they react then. In the next hour, a blockbuster piece of news coming from Planned Parenthood. This goes to the very foundation of Planned Parenthood. and Planned Parenthood and all the libs that support it and all those building their stories around it are also now caught in the midst of cancel culture, which we have been trying to ring that bell on them for a long time. And we were ignored because it's Planned Parenthood, women's rights. That's coming up in the next segment. Stay with us, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.